Thank you. That was amazing, just to sit here and close my eyes and just be basked in that. It was awesome. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The title of this chapter is The Parable of the Persistent Widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his words this morning.
Thank you, Liz. And thank you, Phil. Your song definitely fits the message this morning. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I titled the message this morning, The Waiting Game. How much you and I love to wait, don't we? Go to the doctor's office. It's okay to wait an hour and a half. My doctor, I don't usually have to wait that long. But or, you know, whatever the case may be, Lions Championship. I'm still waiting for that one. But I'm waiting. Test results. You know, sometimes when you have something going on and you're waiting for the test results and you have to wait and wait and wait and wait, and hours seem like days and days seem like weeks, don't they? We have to wait and wait. Sometimes that's the case with answers to prayer. You know, we pray and we pray and we pray and we're waiting and wondering, when is the answer going to come and what is the answer going to be? Or the greatest of all waits, and the one I look forward to someday, and it was spoken of in the song here this morning as well, is the Lord's return. Whether he comes to take us home as a whole in the second coming of Christ, or whether we go home with him when we die on this earth, that waiting game. It's hard sometimes to wait. You know, in light of that, and in the text that was read this morning in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, I think, is trying to share with his disciples that yes, they may have to wait. Here's two suggestions that he gives to them, starting in verse 2 of chapter 18. There's two things that he says. One is always pray, and number two, don't give up. Think about that. Always pray and don't give up. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says to pray continually. Now, sometimes we think of prayer, when we think of prayer, we think of that kneeling and folding your hands, closing your eyes and doing like we did this morning when we had the pastoral prayer. You know, that's kind of the normal way we pray. But prayer is more than that, folks. Prayer is having a mindset and a heart set that's always thinking about God. Godly things. Our walk with him. Our observation as we're out there looking around and seeing that God's handiwork, all these things that we notice and think about, and is all a part of that communion with him, that prayer, so to speak, with him, to him, and listening sometimes for that still small voice, as we did with the seashell. Interesting too that here was that seashell this morning. It has every bit as much to do with the message as well. Why should we pray continually? Some of the other gods that we read about in the Old Testament, the people would pray to their gods and keep praying and praying and praying and praying, because what your hope was, you would appease the gods and the gods would eventually respond. In fact, if they weren't responding when you were just praying, then you do things like slash yourself and do these ugly kinds of things to get the attention of the gods, that they would respond to your prayer. That's not our God. That's not our God. That's the gods of this world. That is not our God. That is not why Jesus is telling his disciples to pray always. Because you see, I think what happens when you and I are persisting in prayer is there's some character building that's going on. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, verse 4 and following, it says that sometimes when we're suffering, if we just persevere, that perseverance produces character, and that character produces hope. And that hope doesn't disappoint us, because God is at the end of all that, and He's at the beginning of all that, and He's with us through all of that. You see, I think sometimes this opportunity to pray, and pray even when we don't get an answer right away, is because God is helping us to grow. To grow. I think something else is happening when He asks us to pray, and to pray often. What is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. And what is communication with God? It's developing a relationship, isn't it? Don't you like to be around the person you love the most? To commune with them, to talk with them, to be with them. You see, God is wanting us to develop a relationship with Him, and part of that is being in prayer, talking with Him and walking with Him. You see, constant prayer means that a relationship is budding. A relationship is blooming. A relationship is growing when we're praying. And so Jesus is telling His disciples, always pray. Keep your mind on Me. Keep your mind on your Heavenly Father. Keep your mind on your Daddy, because He loves you so much. He wants to talk to you too, as well as listen to your concerns. So when He shares with us this parable of the persistent widow, I think that's what He's trying to set up for us. That first thing, as I said, that first suggestion, always pray. And then the second one was, don't give up. Because, you know, we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and sometimes it seems like God's not listening, doesn't it? I believe with all my heart that when we pray, and even though we don't get the answer right away, that God is listening. He has our best interest in mind. He is responding, although not always the way you and I had wanted Him to respond. I know sometimes I even couch my prayers that way. You know, I'm couching my prayers in such a way that I'm asking God to do this. I told Him how I want it done at the other end. And sometimes God's saying, Dave, I'm answering your prayer, but it's not going to be in the way in which you thought it was going to be answered. You may not even like the short term of the answer to this prayer, but the long term is that you're going to grow, that we're going to get closer, and that I'm going to be honored and glorified in the end. So just trust Me. I believe that. Even though I don't like it when God doesn't answer my prayer fairly quickly, because I'm just as impatient as some of you are. Don't give up. Jesus tells the disciples, don't give up, because God does have your best interest in mind. He says in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, in that text there, it says, who of you, if you ask your father for a fish, will give you a snake? How much more than your Heavenly Father, who knows what you really need, is going to give you what you really need? He's not going to give you a snake or a scorpion. He's going to give you what it is that you really need. Trust Him with it. Psalm 27:14. We've heard this one many times, probably on multiple occasions. But in that text, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord."
Oh, I don't like doing that.
We live, especially in this country, don't we? We live in a country where everything's instant. I think I shared this with you a while back, but you know, I'm now 58 years old. When I was on the farms, almost when I graduated from high school for a few years before God was kind of calling me into ministry, I managed the family farm, and then my brother got into it with me a little bit too. In fact, he's the one who took over after I left. And I remember back when, if you wanted to get a loan, you had to go to the bank. And you had to apply for a loan. And then the people at the bank would get together sometime during that week. And then they'd get back to you maybe a week later and tell you whether you get that loan or not. Now you go in and 10 minutes later you've got the loan. You see how things have changed? I mean, I thought it was really cool when I was in high school and I'd go for a dental appointment. And then we'd stop at the Burger Chef. Anyone heard of the Burger Chef? It was before Burger King. Well, I don't know if it was before then, but we had one in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. We had a Burger Chef. And you go in there, you walk in, and you can get your burger, and then you go to the little buffet thing, and you can put the lettuce and tomatoes on, and you can get that like now. Boom. I was already getting into this instant stuff even back then. But in our country today, we're used to everything now. He says, wait. Wait. Just lean on Him. Trust Him. But wait, God has your best interest in mind. You see, our hope does rest in Him. It doesn't rest on us. If it rests on us, we're in trouble. Our hope rests on Him. So, again, He says, always pray. Don't give up. But in light of that, we read in this parable that in the world we face injustice, don't we, sometimes? Life is not fair. That is a true statement. Life is not fair so many times. We oftentimes find ourselves on that side of being unfair. Many times we're maybe on the other side of it. But sometimes you find yourself on the side of life being not fair, whether it's an unjust something that happens to you from another person, or whether it's just the fact that I have to deal with ailments and sicknesses and cancers and diseases and loss of loved ones and all these things, and you don't even have to deal with it. Life is unfair. Why did it happen to me and it doesn't happen to you? Blah, 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 blah. We can go on and on about how life is unfair in so many ways. In the world, we do face injustice, things not being fair. Sometimes the adversary is actually a person. And more times than not, the adversary is the devil himself. He's strong. He wants nothing more than our demise. You know that? He wants nothing more than our demise. He wants to ruin us. That's what he wants. You and I, so many times, we point our anger at a person. And I need to be reminded from time to time in my own life that it is not mine to seek revenge on someone else who has wronged me. Because in Romans 12:19, God says, Dave, it's mine to avenge, not yours. What he calls me to do is to love in spite of circumstances. In spite of the fact that life might be unfair at times, in spite of the fact that it seems like I'm praying and praying and praying and God's not answering it, so I want to do it myself. No, he says, leave it up to me, Dave. He's telling you, leave it up to me. If you truly have been wronged, that doesn't mean that you and I shouldn't seek justice and we can work for justice in a variety of ways. But the result isn't up to us. The result is ultimately up to God. Be reminded of that, folks, because we're trying to take it on ourselves sometimes, and that ends up getting us in some kind of trouble. Just as this persistent widow had some kind of injustice done to her, and she kept going back to the judge time and time and time and time and time again, the judge finally got sick and tired of it and said, okay, I'm going to deal with it because I'm kind of getting tired. Now, he's saying if that judge would do that, how much more someone who loves you, your heavenly Father, who is the judge, would respond. You know, what I do get out of this text is something I want you to get as well, because I think this too is a truth in this parable, and it's this. Even the unjust will often respond to a prayer-filled inquiry. Think about that for a moment. Even the unjust will oftentimes respond to a prayer-filled inquiry. God uses the unjust sometimes to bring about the good that ultimately needs to be brought about. Oh, we see time and time in the Old Testament how God used some of the old judges in the Old Testament to bring about His righteous purposes, even though some of these kings and some of these people were horrible. But God still used them to bring about His righteous purposes. Pray for those who unjustly do what they do against you, because sometimes God can use them to bring about what's right. In fact, as you and I deal with other people in love and patience and do the right thing, I'm reminded of another text in Romans 12:20 where he says it's like heaping burning coals on their heads. That's spoken of in the same text where he says it's mine to avenge. It is mine to avenge. You see, I believe persistence does pay in many ways. If done prayerfully, it sets the heart in the right place. You see, if we are persistent in prayer, it's setting us in a place we need to be. It's building that relationship with God. It's being in communion with Him in such a way that we can right ourselves. We can put ourselves in a place where we need to be when we're dealing with whatever it is. Whether it's a person or whether it's something going on in my life, irrespective of people. I was talking with a Christian brother of mine this week, and he said that God is working with him in this area, and the King James Version uses this word all the time. We don't get it in some of our modern English, but he said long-suffering. I like that word. Long-suffering, because the word itself says what it is, really. Long-suffering is suffering long. It's dealing with hard things over a long period of time. And he says, God is dealing with me in this whole area of long-suffering because I'm not a very long-sufferer. I'm more of a short sufferer. You know? And he says, God's working with him. In the King James Version, 2 Corinthians 6:6, we talk about long suffering, but another word for that is patience. In that text, we're called to be patient and kind in the Holy Spirit. That's what he calls us to be and to do when it comes to things not going our way and having to deal with something over a long period of time. Like the persistent widow, we keep going. And God, who's not like that wicked judge, God is someone who really does care about us, what's going on. And He doesn't want us to keep praying all the time to appease Him. That's not the kind of God that we serve. He wants us to pray all the time so we can continue to build that relationship with Him. If the unjust will respond at times, how much more will our just God? Again, in that text, the last two, three verses, when he says in that parable, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. No, I will share with you that quickly, sometimes we have a problem with his quickly. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. You know? It's like, God, my quick is go into the McDonald's drive-thru, and a minute later I have the hamburger. Your quick might be days, weeks, months, sometimes years. In the light of eternity, that's still really quick. But understand that sometimes we do have long suffering. Sometimes we have to wait on God's answer. But in the meantime, what you can do is lean on Him, trust Him, pray, know that He's always there, that He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you, and that God's timing is perfect, even though we thought we had better timing. God's timing ultimately is perfect. This parable is ended, though, with this statement. And I think this statement is made to let us know that this isn't the normal response of many Christians. This is a hard road to hoe, because he says in the last statement, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I think what he's really telling us is, folks, it's not easy. It takes faith. I want you to remember what's important is the object of our faith. It's not how much faith we have, but it's who we have faith in. Because he talked about faith being as small as a mustard seed. But if that faith is in the God of the universe, he's the huge part of that equation. And we're but a little tiny piece. Remember, the object of our faith is God, the one who says, always pray and don't give up. Because when I always pray and I don't give up and I know I'm dealing with the God of the universe, I know that I am in the best of hands. And He will ultimately take care of me. It's not an easy life and it's not an easy faith. When it comes right down to it, when life hits us with curveballs and when life seems to be unfair, we don't like the circumstances of our life right now. It isn't easy. But He just says, always pray and don't give up. Because I'm there for you. You see, I think this waiting is a teacher. It's a teacher appointed by God for us. Remember that. Always pray. And don't give up. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for these words that come to us from this parable. The persistent widow, life was not fair, and she wanted justice, and she wasn't getting it. She kept praying and praying and praying, and this jerk of a judge didn't listen until finally they did. And you compare that to God, who is not like that. He wants us to pray continually and not give up, but He is always looking out for our best interest, and part of that is helping us to trust You more. And we do that by continuing to pray and by not giving up and knowing that we serve an awesome God. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.